you join me. A tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 234, interim show number 2, made using interim equipment that may or may not work. If it doesn't work, you'll never get to hear this. If it does work, you'll know that there is a chance of it not working, so you'll be more grateful for than usual, not necessarily to me, but grateful to fate for sending you a show that may or may not have been sent to you. Not that it's sent by fate, but it's fate that it was sent, or some. That's what some would have you believe anyway. Those fate obsessives, they go around obsessing over their fate. They're usually people who end up in death row, and they say, oh, it's fate that I was here, it's fate I was destined to be convicted of this murder that I carried out, and I was destined to, I don't know, destined to whatever the hell is going to happen to me. It's not fair anyway, I didn't do it. Well, I did do it, but I shouldn't have been convicted. It was my head talking, my effed up hateful head was speaking on my behalf, because I've got split personality. I've got one personality that's in my head and the other personality that's in the rest of me. You really shouldn't listen to the one in my head, because my head is private. The fact that my head went out and murdered someone is none of your business. You've no business monitoring my thoughts. You're not the thought police. You're the well, I suppose in a way you are the police, but you're here to police people, not police their thoughts. So the fact that I talk about going out and murdering someone is none of your business, and the fact of my head ordered my body to go out and kill someone and I went and did it, well, I suppose technically that's your business, because it's against the law and it's your job to police law breaking and make sure that it's done in a reasonable law abiding way, because if people the police don't. They don't stop everything from happening. If they see a fella going across the road and there's a cat going the other way and the cat is setting a bad example by jaywalking and the fella decides to do the same thing and blame the cat, then there's nothing the cops can do about that sort of thing. The cat isn't required to obey the law. Why should he? For God's sake, if you run down a cat in this country, you don't have to report to the police. So why should the cat have to obey the laws if the people who run over don't? It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. There's no equity between cats and humans in this country. Now, for if you're listening abroad, where I say this country, insert the words this country instead, which is in fact the same words that I said, but make your version of those words relate to the country that you're in, to make it more applicable. Basically, you're localizing my podcast. Although admittedly it's still done in an Irish accent, but you're, most of you are in America and you're all Irish anyway. You all love to, whenever you go over there, you all go and say, hello, I've got an Irish granny, by the way, can you bring over some sulpidine, because I get a lot of hangovers here, we're not allowed to get sulpidines in American pharmacies. We're only allowed to have that. We're allowed to have that night something, that thing that gives you weird dreams. Well, we're not allowed to have that over here. We're not allowed to have proper cold medicine like what you do. It's almost worth having a cold in North America. People go around, they go up to homeless people and say, hello, would you mind sneezing on me? I want to get me some of that night stuff. What's it called? I can't remember what the feckin' stuff is called. Frank Edward Nora on the Overnightscape Underground podcast is always going on about it. He gets sick and he goes and says, will I take a bottle of this stuff now, or at least a spoon or two, or whatever their recommended dosage is. And then he goes and takes it and has funny dreams and he describes them on his podcast. And then he goes and says, I'm feeling better now because I took this medicine that makes me feel better. So I'm going to go out and record myself walking in the subways of New York City, because that's what he does. He goes around the subways of New York City and says, hello, I'm Frank Nora. He doesn't have a middle name anymore. He got rid of that recently. He says, hello, I'm Frank Nora. Or if he's in the past, he says, hello, I'm Frank Edward Nora. And I'm walking around the streets going, basically, I'm going around like a weirdo, except I'm not a weirdo. It's perfectly normal to be podcasting. It's just that no one else does it. Everyone else goes around staring at me saying, why are you recording? Are you a terrorist? And I say, no, I'm not a terrorist. And if you wish to make an allegation like that, you should do it in the privacy of a police station or your solicitor's office and have appropriate evidence to back it up. Not just come up to me and accuse me of being a terrorist. Next thing you'll want to shoot me, because I jaywalked across the road because I saw a cat doing it. I don't know if you have cats walking around the middle of New York City. You probably don't. Ironically, since the musical Cats, I believe, has a long-term residency in Times Square, or at least I assume it has. You're always seeing films, you see people going into Times Square or Broadway or somewhere, and the musical Cats is going on, and then you see a cartoon of a dog going into the city, and he looks up and he sees Cats the musical, and he looks all shocked as if it's something terrible, and he goes, why am I a dog being sent to Cats the musical? That's a terrifying concept to me, although it shouldn't be, because dogs are supposed to be the people who terrify cats, not the other way around. Except, of course, in Tom and Jerry, although Cats the Musical wasn't around in those days, there probably was a musical about cats, but it wasn't very prominent. They didn't have the Andrew Lloyd Webber thing, or is that an Andrew Lloyd Webber thing? I don't know. Probably that's the sort of thing he'd probably do, a musical about cats. And then you have the Queen musical, where they're all going, Galileo, 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 here's the thing, there's a guy called Galileo, and he's trying to save music or something. And Ben Nelton wrote it, and it's got Queen songs in it, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a load of crap. I'm never going to see that crap. I believe they're working on a sequel now, I presume. I don't know, I presume they're all dead in it, because there's no new Queen songs, because they're all dead, unless you count the album last year with that fella, what's his name, who's not dead. He's not dead, but he's, I'll tell you, he may as well be, because he's not doing that stuff anymore. He's back to doing his old stuff. But no, you can't have that sort of thing going on. Well, I suppose you can. It's perfectly legal. There's no law whatsoever against setting up a musical about cats and giving it a residency in the middle of New York City. But frankly, if Stalinism and dictatorship didn't have such a bad reputation because of Hitler, I'd be suggesting here and condoning that that sort of thing should be illegal. But I'm not, because I'm in favour of freedom, because I've seen what happened with Saddam Hussein. He went around, if he tried to set up, I'll tell you, if in those days in the 1980s, if he went to Baghdad and tried to have a musical about cats, I'll tell you, they'd put a halt to your gallivanting. They'd say, what do these cats signify? Is this an anti-Muslim thing? Because if it is, we're going to bomb America. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get Al-Qaeda and the IRA and some other group, I don't know, some alien thing. And we're going to have a conspiracy, and we're going to go and go around demolishing towers, because we've been watching those Discovery Channel documentaries about that fellow who goes around setting up dynamite and safely demolishing buildings, and he always takes ages doing it, and he has to get inspectors in to see it and all. No, we rather do it the terrorist way, where we don't necessarily have the building owner's permission, and we don't necessarily give adequate notice. That's the problem with terrorists these days. They've no morals. Back in my day in Northern Ireland in the 1980s, the IRA used to ring you up in advance to make an anonymous call, and they'd say, hello, I just wanted to let you know, this is a bomb warning, there's a bomb in your building, and we'd advise you to get out, because bombs are dangerous. Our hope is that it'll explode, but we want to look good, so we're giving you advance notice if this is going to go off in 25 seconds. By the way, this message will self-destruct in 23 seconds, unless you're listening to it remotely, and your message playing contraption isn't within range of the bomb. Frankly, I don't know the exact range. This isn't an exact science, this bomb making things. We get some Samtex, we get some paint and some nails, and frankly it's rather crude. The police are surprised when they come across what they call a viable device. They used to find things in Dublin and they'd say, the police have found a suspicious object, it looks like a bomb, they're looking at it now. And then a few hours later they'd say, the police have said the bomb that was made safe earlier was viable. It was actually a real bomb that would have worked. And apparently this comes as a surprise to everyone. They say, oh, they're using real bombs now. That's a bit much now, you're taking the piss. Well, at least it didn't go off, we managed to stop it. Good morning.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good cat.